Okay, first of all, I apologize if there are not enough sheets. If not, we'll be able to get them around. It is great, as it's great to have you here. It's great to always welcome people back who are here and are visiting. It's really, really nice. I mean that like in a, it's very, very meaningful. And hopefully it's a statement about connections and how they last. Let's try and talk about an important sugya today. It is, I guess, both part of our normal shiurim in the Maseches Ksuvos, but in a very, very different way. Because we're chazering right now, and we happen to be up to daf, we're starting daf tes, I want to speak about today, and hopefully a little bit tomorrow, some of the agadot on Chesam Abeis, and it's an agadot piece where we're going to focus a bit on the Maral, and therefore it's also part of those Friday shiurim on the Maral. Hopefully it can be something which is good and important. So let's try a little bit. The Gemara here is an interesting Gemara in Chesam Abeis. The primary goal is try to sort of get three different mahalchim, three different approaches in Bali Machshava to nivel peh. We'll try to define a little bit about what nivel peh is. For now, we'll use the incorrect and imprecise translation of inappropriate speech, and hopefully that can at least serve as helpful in the beginning. The Gemara Darshan here in Ksubas and Ches Amabez Amar of Chanan Barav based in the pasuk Hakol Yodin Kala Lama Nichnas El Chuppah. Everyone knows why a kala goes to the chuppah. What does that mean? Everyone knows that before there's a wedding that she is going to be married now, and as a result, the couple is going to be intimate together. Everyone knows that's true. Ella, still, even though it's a known fact, if you're at a wedding and you're that's sort of what you're talking about, says the Gemara, Ella koha menavel piv, umotzi davar nevela mipiv, afil nechtam lo gizardino shel shivim shana letova, nefach alav lira'a. A very, very strong line of the Gemara. The Gemara says, if you're menavel espiv, if you would say certain things that are inappropriate, even if nechtam lo gizardino shel shivim shana, even if you already have a gizardin that's been established based on 70 years of great things, that whole gizardin is going to be broken. That whole gizardin, it's going to be canceled. It's going to be a bad gizardin as a result of the way that you speak. Clearly, the Gemara is highlighting for us a couple of things. But one, most basically, is something about the kedusha, the manner in which a person should be talking. That a person should make sure that when they speak, if they're speaking with a certain kind of snias, a certain kind of modesty, and that when you speak in an inappropriate way, the Gemara is clearly highlighting that we take this very, very seriously. This is something which is really, really terrible. You see that same idea in the Gemara in Shabbos and Daf Lamed Gimel, if you look there in chapter 4. But avo nivlus peh, as a result of nivl peh, the kind of inappropriate speech, saros rabos ugzeros kashos mischachos ubichoreis on Yisrael mesim yisomim valmanos tsoakim v'inanetnet, that as a result of this kind of bad speech, many troubles and calamities come. A lot of harsh gzeros are made. Jews are going to be killed. Yisomim and almanos, people that are already most vulnerable in our society, they're going to be calling out, and no one's going to be answering them. Very, very harsh treatment to one who speaks with nivel peh. Very, very harsh treatment. The Gemara goes on to say there, Maseches Shabbos, Rav Nachman Yitzchak Amar Af Shomea V'Shoseik. Even if I just hear that kind of language, I don't say anything. I just hear that language and I'm quiet. Even such a person is dealt with in such harsh ways. We've spoken about a little bit in the past as far as learning Agadata. This is going to be one of those examples if we're trying this year in some of these shiurim to deepen and appreciate more the way to learn Agadata. Not everything in Agadata is meant to be taken literally. That this actually is the punishment of every gizardin. Oh my gosh, you had a little bit of nivel peh, whatever that means, and then you were at a wedding once and you spoke about lama kala nichnas al chuppah and you're there. That meant that all the mitzvahs you did, it suddenly is all canceled and it's, you know, totally going to be there. Or as the Gemara says in Shabbos there, kom navas piv ma'amikin lo gehenna, you're going to go deep and deep into Gehenna. That sometimes in Agadata, the way that Chazal communicates, not always totally literal. The example we bring, I think, is from the Tshuva the Rivash, from the Gemara says in Shabbos, kol ha-koes ki'ilu oved avodazara. It doesn't mean that if you get angry, you're actually an idol worshiper. Doesn't mean that we treat you like an idol worshiper. It's a way of expressing something about the severity of getting angry. Just like the Gemara in the first parak of Sota uses very harsh terminology to describe someone with gaiva. Doesn't mean literally that person with gaiva is a heretic. You can be a believer and it means though that it's trying to convey the severity. And in the thought of the Maharal, the way that we convey that severity is always important. The choices that are made as far as why specific formulations, specific phrases are being chosen, that's all done in a very precise way for the Maharal. It's not random that we choose Ma'amikin lo Gehenim as a punishment. It's not random that it's 70 years are going to be up. Let's figure out what exactly the pshat is. But for the Maharals, we'll see in a little bit. It's all very, very precise. Chazal in a bunch of places, just a chazal sort of where we're at as far as an introduction. Chazal in a bunch of places speak very, very harshly about a person who speaks inappropriately. Kol menavas piv, terrible punishments will come as a result. People are going to die. He's going to go into Gehenim. He's going to have a good gazar din. He's going to be ripped up. And part of what we want, the Gemara in Pesachim in the first parak, and Daf Gimel speaks a little bit about Lashon Nekiyah, to speak in a appropriate way. And part of what we want to figure out is, what exactly is the problem? What's so problematic with inappropriate speech? We're going to try to highlight three different, the Mahalchim of three different Bali Machshava. We're going to speak about the Ramchal and Mesil Shasharim. We're going to speak about Rabbeinu Yonah and Shari Tshuva. And we'll speak about a couple Maharals and Chiddushei Agados. The goal is to appreciate better what the issue is with speech and why it's something which Chazal deal with in a certain sense in such strong terms. Let's begin with the Ramchal Mesil Shasharim, Perek Yud Aleph. We learned Mesil Shasharim a bunch of years ago. That was when I think Zachariah was Shana Bet. We learned Mesil Shasharim. We learned Kuzari when you were Shana Bet. We learned Mesil Shasharim when Ezra was here. The Ramchal Mesil Shasharim is a work. This is important to point out. At its core, it's like the first year we had a Mesil Shasharim at the time. At its core, it's a Musar Sefer. Mesil Shasharim is a Musar Sefer, and many, many people learn it totally as such. It's a Musar Sefer. If you are a Kabbalist, so you learn Mesil Shasharim as a Sefer Kabbalah or as a Hachana to Kabbalah. That it's very much connected to that. That those are lines from different Bali Machshava that argue that if you really know Kabbalah and you look at Mesil Shasharim, you'll find a lot there. We tried to point out when we were learning Mesil Shasharim that there's another way of learning Mesil Shasharim. And that's that the Ramchal, aside from being offering us Musar and being a Mekubal, the Ramchal is one of the great Bali Machshava. And things that the Maharal says in Mesil Shasharim also offer us tremendous insight as far as Jewish thought and the way that he happens to view things. The Ramchal in Perek Yud Aleph talks a little bit about inappropriate speech, and he has and he says something which is interesting and I think significant. The first thing the Ramchal writes, he says, you know, it could be that you would argue, why is inappropriate speech about arayos, let's say, why, that's kind of our Gemara, why is that so problematic? So the Ramchal writes that you could make the argument, and it's not a bad argument. You can make the argument, there's nothing inherently wrong with talking inappropriately about things like arayos. There's no isser that you really violate at all. The problem is it will set you up to violate isurim. If you're thinking about things, if you're talking about things, you're verbalizing certain issues, it increases the likelihood that you're going to mess up as a result. That if I'm talking a lot about kal, but I'm talking that much and it's leading to hirhurim, it's leading to certain things, that I'm more likely as a result to violate certain averas. Now, as if I can just mention like a small aside, not talking about those things at all does not necessarily decrease averos. If you go too far to the opposite extreme, that we never talk about anything that's like remotely, or we argue that full separation entirely, that doesn't always provide a solution. Sometimes you have a person with a lot of like pent up and built up emotions. It's good to have a bit of an outlet, but a very small outlet only in or a small outlet and done in inappropriate ways. But the Ramchal writes, that's not the only issue. The only issue is not one of it being preventative. Of it's a siyag. It'll lead to an issue. The Ramchal writes, you know, he starts out like this. He says, Kvar tzach, people of Chazal already point out the problem of Nivol Peh. Ervas Dibor Yerushalmi says, Zen Nivol Peh. He quotes the Gemara in Shabbos, Be'avon Nivol Peh, Tzaros Mischacho. He quotes the Gemara in Chagiga. Even if a couple is speaking and it's very, very inappropriate, even that's going to be remembered, the Gemara in Chagiga. And the Ramchal says, but maybe, again, maybe I would think it's all preventative. He says, no. He darshens from the Pasuk that the issue of Emesu Kedibri Chazal, Shenivol Pehu Ervaso Shal Hadibor Mamish, Umishum Znus Hu Shenesar Kechol Shar Inyan Znus, Shafapish ain't bam karish. He says based in asurim him iser atzman. This is actually like a little bit of a lumdisha point. If I can point that out, this is in the realm of arayos. So there's full blown arayos. A couple has bia, and it's an inappropriate kind of a bia that's full blown arayos. One could think that anything else around that, take negia, anything else around that is not inherently problematic. It's just preventative. Like as an example, most rishonim, most poskim assume yichud is not inherently problematic. The concern of yichud, of being alone in the room, at the end of mezakhs kiddushin, is that it may end up causing me to violate an avera. But says the Ramchal, that's not really true, and many rishonim and achronim back him up about certain examples, that what's considered to be inappropriate is not only full-blown arayos, that's chayef kares or misas based in, but there are things that are inherently inappropriate, even though it's not full-blown arayos. There are certain kinds of activities that are considered to be inappropriate, even though they don't really cause full arayos. As an example, negia may be an example of that. Losiku legalos erva may be a siag, but it may not be. It may be that it's inappropriate for a man and woman to be hugging in a certain kind of way, even though it's not going to lead to anything more than that. That may in and of itself not be viewed as totally appropriate. Yichud, by the way, you have some achronim who argue a similar thing. That yichud maybe also is just, it's not appropriate. Not only it'll lead to something's not appropriate. Says the Ramchal, that is the definition of nivol. Nivol peh, speaking about arayos in particular, says the Ramchal, that's inherently inappropriate. Not just because it will lead to something, it's inherently inappropriate. Chazal understand that is there's erva in bia, there's erva, lo sikru legal, there's erva as far as touching sometimes, it's inherently problematic. Speaking about it also, says the Ramchal, that it's still asurim heim mitzad atzmam, milvad heyosam gomer meviam, ela iser haroshi atzmam. Speech, says the Ramchal, this is mahalach number one. Mahalach number one for the Ramchal is that it's, number one, it happens to be, speaking appropriately will prevent me from sinning, and speaking inappropriately will increase the likelihood I have of engaging in certain activities. But the Ramchal understands it's also, it's inappropriate to speak about lama kal nichlas al chuppah. That in our Gemara, people know it, but to talk about it, it's crass. To talk about it's inappropriate. It's something which shouldn't be done. There are certain things in this world that, even though everyone sort of like knows about it or thinks about it, verbalizing it is in and of itself a bit of a problem. And that's something which is, again, not because it'll cause something, even if it'll cause nothing, that a person's supposed to speak. What the Ramchal doesn't do as much, he shows how the Pesukim learn that way, is to try to give us a little bit more insight. What exactly is the problem? What exactly is the problem of speaking inappropriately? What does that do to me? Why is that so problematic? The Ramchal sounds like it's a limud in the Yerushalmi. It's a gzeirus hakasav, ervas dibor, things like that. Rabbeinu Yonah and Sha'ari Tshuva gives us a little bit more insight. It's here in Shar Gimel, Reish Chav Tes. I'm not I think this is a little bit well known. I'm not great with Rabbeinu Yonah in general and Sha'ari Tshuva also. But here he's talking about different kinds of averos. Different kinds of averos, and he mentions three issues with speaking inappropriately. This is all that will come to Maharal in a little bit. Hopefully that'll be helpful. Rabbeinu Yonah, again, I'm sorry for the lack of participation in this. It's a little more of like a Friday feel, I guess, with less participation. I always assume that's really because Friday, at its core, everyone is like so tired that no one could communicate anyway at that point in time. And now we're doing it on Thursday. This is like the riot that's also a din in like the nature of the share. It's Wednesday, okay. I'm really not on my A game today. What did they say? What did I just say? What, Thursday? Yeah. We can't make it Thursday, decide right now it's Thursday. That'd make my week so much easier. If there's a way to do that, I guess not. Okay, so I guess we're on. I can't believe it's only Wednesday. Lechun Aranana this morning, yeah. I'm not even so good at Lechun Aranana Friday night, but I guess for, you know, for this, I'm good. Okay. Ha'achilik ha'chamishi nivlos ha'peh. The Rabbi Yonah writes there's a problem here. It's in source number, I'm speaking from the actual one, but it's in source number 7 on the sheet. The fit, Nivol Peh, he quotes some of the Gemara's also, the Gemara in Lama Gimel, HaKol Men Abbas Piv, Afim Nigzor Lav Gzar Din Shul Shem Shana, Nefach Lav L'Ra, that's a Gemara also by us that we saw. It says, why is it so terrible? Number one, says Rabbi Yonah, Uva'avor zos ha'menav al-fiv v'chulei ki azav v'iniach ha'busha v'atniyas shehinam midos ha'yaduos l'zera ha'kodesh. Number one. Give us three reasons why appropriate speech is important. Number one, the Gemara tells in Masechet Yevamos and Daf Ayin Tes that there are three simanim, there are three traits that distinguish Bnei Yisrael. Bnei Yisrael are Rachmanim, Baishanim, and Gomlei Chasadim. Baishanim, Rachmanim, and Gomlei Chasadim. Two of those, at least, Busha and Snias, being embarrassed and being modest, are the hallmarks of the Jewish people. The hallmarks of the Jewish people. One who speaks in a crass kind of a way, speaks about issues that should be private, and he speaks about them publicly, it reflects a lack of busha, it reflects a lack of tznias, and that says, Rabbeinu Yonah, those are the things that are midos hayiduos, lezera hakodesh, v'halach ashvilei azas panim, shimidas hanivam arayim. These are things that are part of what makes Klal Yisrael unique, is the way that we speak with a certain kind of tznias. And it's part of what distinguishes us as Jews. So a person who speaks in a certain kind of way, it's a midos issue. It's a midos issue. It's not a formal halacha kind of idea. It's a problem in midos. But it's dafka the midos that are so critically important. It's dafka midos that are supposed to characterize what does it mean to be a Jew? What does it mean to be someone who has certain traits and how we carry ourselves? The second, though, becomes a bit more halachic. In the world of Rabbeinu Yonah, Vashenis, it's a Chil Hashem. It's straight up a Chil Hashem when Jews talk in a certain way. Why is it a Chil Hashem when they do that? Says Rabbeinu Yonah, because that's the way people speak who are unrefined. That's the way low class people speak. And all people, V'chol Chacham V'Navam, everyone, all wise, refined people don't talk that way. That's true in general, we know that's true. If you're in, depending on where you're at in culture, so there are certain kinds of words and certain kinds of phrases that are appropriate that people will use at the lower end of society, however you define lower end of society. I'm not politically correct. Is there something called lower end of society according to everyone?
Lower end of
society. Is there? No such thing? If there would be such a thing.
Supporters,
you're really full blown in your current mode. That's the thing. Doesn't Everett Hold or something called lower end of society? It's a question of who you think in that realm, or no? I don't know. In the era in which there was something called a lower end of society, which may no longer exist, if there is something like that, let's say this. Definitely amongst people who are better educated. That is allowed to exist as a term. There are people who have more degrees. People who are better educated, people who are a little bit more refined, they will speak in a bit of a more refined manner. That using certain words or using certain phrases is often viewed as being, in a certain sense, unbecoming. It's viewed as something which is negative. And because that's something which is true, cross-cultural, because it's something which is known throughout... In not only it's not a Jewish idea, it's true in the secular world also, where it's understood that if I'm writing in a paper for a certain quality of journal, I have to write with a certain quality of English. And if you were referring, let's say I'm writing in an academic journal and I'm critiquing someone else's book, and you use profanity when you're critiquing that book, it's not going to be accepted. It's not an appropriate level for the journal. When Jews talk that way, so says the Rabbeinu Yonah, that's also part of a problem of Chil Hashem. Because they're now going to be perceiving you and the way that you talk. That's how you speak. That's how you communicate. That's inappropriate. Says Rabbeinu Yonah, that's something which really should not be there. The third point that Rabbeinu Yonah makes as to why it's so bad, again, the Ramchal got us started by pointing out it's not just a siyag, but it's inherently problematic. Rabbeinu Yonah is explaining what's the problem with it. So one, we have a midos issue. I'm weak in my tznias and my busha, etc. Second is, it's a chil Hashem, that we want to speak in a bit of a more refined way. We want to speak to carry ourselves with a certain kind of class. And the third point, he says, v'nei hu mechalo kli haseichel, asher hu yikar mikol kli chemda. That speaking in a certain way, it detracts from a person's, speech relates very much to a person's intellect, not their physical strength, but to their intellect. And if you speak a certain way, you're being mivaza in a certain sense. You are not taking seriously your intellect. You're not maximizing your intellect. And you're speaking in a way which is which detracts from your capacity to grow. Our vocabulary, the words that we use, are very, very important. And they're ways of helping us raise our intellect. They're ways of helping us tap into man's intellectual capacity to be able to refer to things in certain ways. And when we just, you know, automatically go for certain crass kinds of terms, and we start automatically go for certain kinds of formulations, that's not developing the same way our intellect. Now, one could argue, and I say this to, with some of Rina Yonah's ideas, you could make the argument. I had a teacher in high school that I remember used to, she was very, very interesting. She told us, like, you know, she was not an Orthodox Jew. She held, I think, because she was in a school, she did not, like, actively support this. But she was very comfortable. If we were writing an essay and we wanted to, you know, Iker Hadin, she held, that if you wanted to, you know, put in there a little bit of profanity to express a certain point, so she thought maybe there's room for that. Because if it's done in a way where it's not going to be, to choose that word because it has a certain impact, or a certain effect, and you choose that, so she was arguing, that's not, again, take away the last point, that's not mivaza kli haseichel, that's choosing the right word to express the right emotion. Now, we would not necessarily embrace that. There are other reasons why we may not embrace it. It may still relate to a certain segment, or it may not still not be as refined as we would like. It may still engage in a certain kind of chil Hashem that we would even use words to describe that. But not every single explanation of Rabbeinu Yonah will necessarily explain why each individual, you know, why one word here, one word there is not going to be, you know, an issue, but it definitely reflects more or less a particular orientation. What we've seen so far is as follows. Before we set up the Maharal, and the Maharal is going to be very Maharal-like, I think, as far as how he does it. But what we've seen so far is as follows. Chazal, Argemar, Mesechet Ksubis tells us, speaks in very, very harsh terms about one who is, who's engaging in Nivol Peh, HaKol Yodim, Kal, Lam, Nichas, Al-Chuppa, V'chule. We saw different Mahalchim as far as why is it important to speak in a certain refined kind of a way. The Ramchal, it's not just preventative, it's inherently, it's called erva of your mouth, it's inherently problematic. And Yonah mentioning what seems to be, I think, at least the way I read him, three different factors as far as what the issue is. Comes along to Maral. Maral is, we've pointed this in the past, what the Maral does with the Gadata is unbelievable. And the amount of diukim that he makes in the Agadata and the sensitivity with which he reads things is fascinating. So let's point out a couple of things. The Maral, just questions he's going to ask. Lav Dafka will be able to answer all of them, but let's just get to be sensitive a little bit to some of the things that he says. Let's Maral like this. You ready? Number one, bunch of questions. Why is it called Nivol Peh as opposed to Lashon Hara? What's the difference? Lashon Hara, the speech is bad, and Nivol Peh. Why does Nivol Peh Dafka tap into the mouth instead of the speech itself, and is that at all significant? The choice of words. Second, HaKol Yodim Lama Kal Nichnas HaLechuppah, why is that the good example? Why is that the Hakdama to teach me that Nivol Peh is so problematic? Third, why is it that it's Afil Nechtam Lo Gizardino Shal Shivim Shana Latova Nehefach Alav Lira'ah? Why does it have the ability to remove a Gizardin? And why the Gezar Din of 70 years? Numbers are very important. Why the Gezar Din of 70 years? All the things from the Maharal, these are precise choices that are made. Precise choices. In the Gemara in Shabbos, so why is it that Ma'amikin lo Gehenim? Why is that the appropriate response? Why is the appropriate response that there's going to be Misa, Ubachuri Sone Yisrael, it's a euphemism for Jews, Mesim, that they're going to be dying? Why is that the appropriate punishment? So whereas what we've seen in the Ramchal and in Rabbeinu Yonah, they're quoting these same Gemaras, but they're quoting the Gemara to express an idea about the severity of it, but they're not focusing as much on the individual diyukim of all of those pieces of the Agadata. What we've seen so far here a couple of times is that when the Maral reads Agadata, there is no insignificant detail. Every detail is significant, not because it's literally the case, but it's trying to express an idea, but to understand that idea, you have to really, really be in touch with what it's all about. So the Maral suggests as follows, and he has a couple different discussions, really three main discussions I'm aware of. One is the Chlishe Gadosh in Ksubis, one is the Chlishe Gadosh there in Shabbos, and in the Siv Hatznias, I think Perek Dalet there in the Siv Hatznias, he also discusses this Gemara, and that's where he really develops these ideas. I want to develop one of the Maharals in the Halachim, and I think it's a very interesting one. Maharal starts like this. Koach HaDibor. Koach HaDibor. The ability to speak. Unklis writes, it's a very, very famous Unklis. This is quoted by many Rishonim and many Achronim. Unklis writes that what distinguishes man from other animals is that man has the capacity to speak. Now, animals have the ability to communicate also. He's not saying that only people have the ability to communicate, but this kind of complex speech that we have, that is something which distinguishes man and makes man something unique, the way that we can speak in a sophisticated kind of a way. For some, that unklis reflects, if you're like a Rambam person, to what really separates man, which is man's intellect. We're brighter, and therefore we can communicate more. For others, it's more about the speech itself. Speech is what distinguishes man. Says the Maharal as follows. That is why it is so severe, we deal with it so harshly, when a person speaks inappropriately. Because you're taking that which distinguishes you as human. Not like Rabbeinu Yonah, who said it's what makes you, it's some of the unique traits of a Jew. It's what distinguishes you as human. And you're taking that and speaking inappropriately, that is something which undermines at its core what it means to be a person. You're losing some of your tzuras ha'adam. You're losing some of the distinguishing characteristics of what you really are or what makes you unique. It is what distinguishes you. Says the Maharal, that's the difference between nivol peh and lashon hara. Lashon hara is bad speech. Lashon Hara is not inherently so problematic. What's the problem with Lashon Hara? So the Maharal writes, this is really a Chakira and Achronim, but the Maharal writes, the problem with Lashon Hara is that Lashon Hara causes damage. If I say that Sammy does X, that will now cause him damage. It's not about anything. It's a damage that gets caused as a result. That's probably Machol Gishin and Chavetz Chaim and others where that's really the shot in Lashon Hara. Some Lashon Hara is a more midos issue in me and how I speak. But the Maharal assumes the problem of Lashon Hara, it's Lashon, it's speech, Hara, that causes damage. But it's not inherently problematic. Nivol Peh is where you are Minavel, you're negatively impacting your mouth. Not the external speech that comes out. Your mouth itself, that part of your body where you communicate, which makes you unique, Nivol Peh is inherently problematic. Like the Maharal and Rabbeinu Yonah suggest, it is a problem to speak that way. You're being mevatel, your unique tzuras ha'adam. Why the punishments now? So says the Maharal, that's pshat in our Gemara here, Mezekes Ksubis, afil nechtam lo gizardino shel shivim shana letova, nefach alav l'ra'a. Why the number 70? Pasuk tells us in Sefer Tehillim that you may adam, that most people, the average life for most people is, says the Pasuk in Tehillim, 70 years. That's why some have a minug, to have a second bar mitzvah when they turn 83. I spoke about this in the past. One of the more inspiring events I think I was ever at in my life was my wife's first cousin's bar mitzvah at the Kotel. He laned, I think, Rishon maybe in Shani. Shlishi was my wife's grandfather, I spoke to him in the past couple of times, who was a Holocaust survivor who never had a bar mitzvah. He was too busy trying to stay alive to have a bar mitzvah. And he learned how to lane for his second bar mitzvah, 83 years old, where he laned at the Kotel. I think it was 83 at the time, where he laned at the Kotel. What an amazingly inspiring event to see that second kind of bar mitzvah. And for him, it was more almost like Begeder Tashlumin than it was a second one. But most people live 70 years. What's the Gemara trying to convey, says the Maharal? That even if you live, afil nechtam lo gizardino shel shivim shana letova. What does that mean, shivim shana letova? You lived a good life. Your whole life was good. Meaning you were good from beginning to end. It's a standard age of a person. Nefach alav l'ra. This speech can undermine everything you did. Why can this speech undermine your whole existence? What's so bad about this speech? It is your tzuras ha'adam. It's what defines you as human. So even if I went for 70 years and I was all good, this is the sin that's mevatel your status, what makes you human. This sin is so severe because in a certain sense, you should want to drink? Want to drink? Okay. It has the ability to undermine Shivim Shana, all that work, because in a certain sense it's being mevatel, it's undoing all that was done. Let me see if I can read it here for a second. Yeah. Sorry, I think it's in the Chidush Agados in Maseches Shabbos there, where he talks about that. Yeah, whatever. I don't want to waste time now trying to find it. But that's where he articulates that idea. He then goes on to say a couple other things. Says the Maharal, why HaKol Yodim HaFilik Lama Kal Nechas HaLechupa? Why is that what's pointed out to highlight the challenge of Yibor? Why is that what our Gemara choose to say? I should point out, by the way, that's why in the Sefer Kovei Shitas Kamai, I don't know if it's the other Rishonim, it's a Sefer that collects like obscure Rishonim. So there they quote from the Sefer HaSufos. Probably know this is like explicit somewhere else. I just don't know. That's why the Minhag developed to have a Kala wear a veil. Why should a Kala wear a veil? Where does that Minhag come from? So one of the Pshatim is because everyone knows why Kala is going to Chuppah. And in a certain sense, people are aware. There's a Yichla room that's going on afterwards. People know the couple is going to be alone for the first time. And people are going to be thinking about certain things that are not so inappropriate. And there's a concern that people are going to be talking about those things. One of the ways that you minimize the extent to which people are going to talk about it is by putting a veil over her, so you're not seeing her in advance. Now, why dafka are you doing it? Why don't you always do that? Why are you doing it dafka now? Because a girl at her wedding is going to look as great as she possibly can. A lot of time with makeup, it's going to be a very, very nice dress. She's trying to look as beautiful as possible, but we're nervous of this concern. HaKol Yod never knows what's going on, and therefore we dafka put a veil over. I think the Ramah holds Neven Ezer that the veil should be even like a thick veil. I don't think that's the dominant minhag, our recent chasan here, as far as what most people do. That is a minhag that you have some. You do have people that do that. In our world, that's less. Our veils tend to be more see through. But at least as far as what that's about, that's there. In a sense, some beautiful Torah about bedekins and why you cover it. And there's some nice ideas. But that's that. The Maharal explains why is it the example that we're bringing HaKol Yodim Kal Olam Nechseh Chuppah. The part of what the Maharal explains is as follows. I believe it's there in one of these pieces. I could have argued that to articulate something is a problem if people don't really know about it. I could have thought that I'm only dealing so harshly with this because everyone knows about it. Because no one knows about it. And I'm the one who's like bringing it up to the forefront. That no one knows what's going on and I brought it up and I caused a certain problem. And that's where the problem lies, in the impact on others. Says the Maharal, we dafka choose this example, HaKol Yodim Kal Lam Nefes HaChuppah, because everyone knows why. What you're saying, you're not being mechadesh anything. You're not teaching anything new or anything original whatsoever. All that you are doing is, you are articulating what everyone already knows. Still, says the Maharal, Nivol Peh. Why is it still Nivol Peh? Because that is what's to speak that way is undermining what it means to be human. And therefore, whether the impact is a chiddush or it's not a chiddush, that's something which does have the ability to totally, totally impact the way that I am going to function. V'nireshek asher menavo pid b'davar zeh hu davar kal. I could have thought that this is not that big a deal because everyone knows about this. But it's going to be something which is so terrible. If I can have time for one more hour about the Ma'amikim of Gehenim, what's the deal with Gehenim? One of these Shurim ones on one of the Chazara days. So a bunch of years ago, this one was harsh on about. We had a Shir about what Gehenim is. Not that I know what people who write about Gehenim say Gehenim is. We spoke about that a little bit, but so maybe we can add a little bit. What's the Ma'amikim lo Gehenim? So what is Gehenim? So we're not talking right now about Schar ve'Onesh Olam Haba, etc. But the Maharal writes like this. Go to source number 10 at the way end. V'amar v'tetesh ha'amikin lo Gehenim u'perusha kitzur sa'adam hu ha'peh v'al yedei ha'peh hu metziyeh sa'adam. That what makes a person human is his speech, like we saw. He quotes Targum Unklus there. Klomar sh'nishlam ha'adam v'ayelachai medaber v'zeh metziyuso b'fo'ak ha'nishlam ha'adam. since in a certain sense, when you speak inappropriately, it's you're removing yourself. You're removing, you're creating distance from your status as a person. That's why Gehenim, speech is causing a loss. You were a person, I speak inappropriately, I'm losing my status. It causes a loss. Gehenim, says the Maharal, so in some Baalei Machshava, they speak about Gehenim as a place, let's say, that really actively exists. We spoke about Yisrael B'Shorash Avodah, I think, with seven different, you know, different levels of Gehenim at the time and what that looked like. Gehenim at its core, says the Maharal, is... Gehenim is avud v'hefzet shel adam. Gehenim is a place of nothing. Gehenim is a place of chisaron. Gehenim is a place of lacking. Gehenim is the place that whereas Olam Haba has things, it offers things, it's the place of spiritual, whatever it is for different Baalei Machshava. Gehenim at its core represents the absence of things. That's why it's down and it's all the way there and it's that's why says the Maharal, that's why one who speaks with inappropriate speech, you're causing a chisaron. You're taking away your status as a person. You're causing a loss. You're no longer human the same way. And the response, mida keneged mida, is to be in the place of loss, to be in the place of emptiness, to be ma'amik in lo gehenem, to go even deeper down to a place which is empty. It's not a way of conveying that you're chayiv gehenem if you speak that way. Whether it's true or not, I have no idea. For Maharal, it's trying to get us to the core to understand what is the problem with speech? What's the problem with inappropriate speech? Good speech is wonderful. What's the problem with inappropriate speech? That's chazer what we spoke about today to better appreciate what exactly is going on. What we saw is as follows. Our Gemara Masechta Ksubos and Daf Ches talks a lot about HaKol Yodim, talks a lot Nivol Peh, and the problem of Nivol Peh, and the example of Nivol Peh, and the fallout of Nivol Peh. We see similar ideas. Again, we quoted the Kodesh Kamaya, that's why some of the Minog, that they wear a veil that comes from, or many, all the minog, one reason why we have that minog to wear a veil is to cover it up and to help minimize that a little bit. What's so terrible? What's the issue with speaking inappropriately? So Ramchal writes in Mesil Shasharim that it's, first of all, it can potentially cause certain aveiros, but aside from that, it's inherently problematic, especially he's talking there in kind of Dibor about arayos, but it makes it problematic. It's inherently a problem. Rabbeinu Yonah in Shari Tshuva notes three issues with speaking. One is, it's the midos that define a Jew. Two, it creates a chil Hashem. Creates a chil Hashem. And the third is that it diminishes a person's capacity to think on a high intellectual level. It's not an intellectual, doesn't just use crass, those kinds of formulations as much. For the Maharal, it's not just that it removes your status as a Jew in the way that the Jewish midos, the way that Rabbi Yonah spoke about it, but it's really something more than that. It's what distinguishes man as man. Speech is a great gift that we have. And if we use our speech well, we're sanctifying ourselves and we're maximizing it. If we're using our speech poorly, so then that's something which has the ability to help us lose our tzura. One thing I would say is just we happen to be in a unique environment here. I speak about this sometimes. We're in an environment here where people speak very, very nicely. People speak very, very nicely. You're in the dorms, you hear playing ball. People speak very, very nicely. If someone wouldn't, it would be like a little bit jarring and a little bit shocking, and people would look around. You know, that would be something there. That people speak very, very nicely. That is a critical component towards Kedusha. It helps us tap into who we are as people. For Rabbeinu Yonah, it reflects a certain understanding of Busha and Snias, as far as what distinguishes, what we want to distinguish Klal Yisrael. And it's great, great to have midos like that. Many of us, the nature of life is that we may be interacting for very good reasons. There's a chance we'll be interacting in settings where we're going to hear words that are not as holy as we hear right now. This is a place where we're able to appreciate and cultivate certain wonderful habits as far as a way to speak very, very nicely. And hopefully then we'll be able to carry ourselves forward in ways that develop our intellect, and to carry ourselves with a certain kind of class, to be able to make sure that as we are speaking, that we're doing so in ways that are really, really very, very appropriate.